I would like to turn this evening to Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. That's the second book in our New Testament. We have Matthew, followed then by Mark. Just like to say a big thank you to all of the boys and girls for being here. It's an encouragement as I stand here just to look down and to see you here. It really is a blessing to us. We do trust that you've had a good day. Maybe you've been running around a little. Maybe you're a bit unsettled. We long that you just might settle yourselves down, because we're going to consider this evening some very, very important issues. It has got to do with the salvation of your soul. You might be an older person that has come in this evening. Maybe you're not accustomed to coming to a gospel meeting. Maybe this is a strange sort of an atmosphere for you tonight to come in here and to listen to the Word of God. We pray that God might bless you. We want to thank you genuinely from our hearts for that you have come tonight to hear the gospel. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. And we long this evening that you might come in for God's blessing in the salvation of your soul. I want to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to read at verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, that is the Lord Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. I want to come further down the story to verse number 18. This man has been cured. This man has been saved. And we read in verse number 18, and when he was come into the ship, that was the Lord Jesus. Sorry, this was the man. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That was that the Lord Jesus was in the boat. This man wanted to join the Lord Jesus in the boat. But the Lord Jesus said in verse number 19, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The Lord will bless the reading of his own word. You might have come into this meeting this evening, maybe with little thought about salvation. Somebody invited you out of, I suppose, kindness and consideration to them. You thought, well, okay, I'll come. Wouldn't it be good this evening if you were to be able to leave this building and go home, to be able to tell your friends of the great things God has done for you? It's a possibility. It's a probability. This evening, it will depend on your choice, your acceptance of a Savior that is presented in the gospel. Well, long that this might be the privilege of many in our company, boys and girls, that you would be able to leave this building, be able to go home to your mom and dad, maybe in the car on the way home, and say, I want to tell you, a change took place tonight. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I have great things to tell you. This story is found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We find that Matthew tells us about two men. Mark and Luke, they emphasize the most prominent of those two men, and they focus on one man. Matthew tells us the whole story in 7 verses. Luke tells us in 14. Luke tells it in 14 verses. Mark gives us the fullest account in 20 verses. And in Mark chapter 5, in verses 1 to 20, we have the story of this man. It's about a man with demons. In verses 22 to verses 43, we have the story about a girl and death. Then in the middle of that little story about the girl, from verse number 25 to verse number 34, we have the story about a woman and disease. Why do I mention that? Boys and girls, men and women, we're presenting a message tonight to men, to children, to women. It matters not whether you're male or female. It matters not whether you're young or old. We have a message, the message of God to you. Ah, you say, but mister, if only you knew how far down the road of sin I had gone, if only you knew how sinful I have been, you wouldn't say that there's salvation for me. I would, because in Mark chapter 5, the Savior is able to meet the need of a man demon-possessed. He's able to meet the need of a girl in death, and he's able to meet the need of a woman with disease, and he can meet your need. I don't care how sinful you have been. I'm not concerned this evening about the degradation, the dreadfulness of your sin. God is. I just want to remind you tonight, the good news of the gospel is this. There's a Savior, and he can save you. In Mark's Gospel chapter 4, we have the superiority of the Savior over creation. What manner of man is this? Not even the winds and the seas obey him. But when we come to chapter 5, I want us to focus on the sympathy of the Savior. We have a Savior who is seeking, and a Savior who is able to save. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save. He came. I want to focus this evening on the words of this man to the Lord Jesus. What have I to do with thee? But before we just come to those words, do you notice what the demons believe in? You see, in these very words, here's a man who is demon-possessed, and he says, what have I got to do with thee, Jesus? The demons believe in Jesus. Oh, you said, I thought only Christians believed about Jesus. No, demons believe about Jesus. Do you know also that he said, thou Son of God? The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You said, but I thought only Christians believe that. No, demons believe that. Ah, but this man went even further. He said, Son of the Most High God. Oh, you said, but this man must be a believer. No, we want to emphasize this evening, this man was not a believer. Well, he believed. He believed about Jesus. He believed about the Son. He believed about the Most High God. But he wasn't a Christian. Oh, you say, well, maybe that rules me out tonight. I believe about Jesus, and I believe about the Son, and I believe about the Most High God. That's not necessarily salvation. You see, I live in a country, and people acknowledge the Trinity. They acknowledge God, and they acknowledge the Son of God, and they would acknowledge the Spirit of God. And they acknowledge that the Son, it was both, he was divine, he was God, but he was manifested in flesh, but they're not saved. Just would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? If mentally, you had a lot of head knowledge. I mean, we're taught it in the schools, the nice little stories about Jesus. We're told about Jesus and about God. But that's not salvation. I want you just to notice these words that this man spake. I want to look at thee, or you, to do. I, to do with thee. It wouldn't be difficult, would it, to be able to judge this man I mean, we've got it all in the story. We are told, Matthew tells us, that this was an extremely fierce man. This was someone you wouldn't want to meet in the dark. You know, when you're going up the stairs to bed, maybe somebody jumps around the corner at you, and you're frightened. Well, this was the sort of man you wouldn't want to meet on the street. This was a fierce man. This was a man, and he was bound by chains, and people wanted to constrain him, but he broke himself free, and he was wild, and he was known in the community as a bad man. Oh, you would have no difficulty saying, well, he would need to be saved. And you could look around the community, maybe around this area, wherever you live, and you could look at sinners, and you would say, well, they need to be saved. They're bad. Boys and girls and men and women, I want to get you to this point. I hope you get it personal tonight. I am a sinner. Oh, you say, but I know so much, and I'm not described. I couldn't be described like this person. I'm not wild. I'm not cruel. I'm not like. Doesn't matter how far down the road of sin you have gone. Even if you haven't sinned at all, and that's not a possibility, you have sinned. But even if you had lived in this world and never sinned, you would still be a sinner, because it's your nature that's the problem. You were born with it. And the Bible says, don't judge me for what I'm about to say. Don't speak to me as you go out the door and say, now, I don't agree with you. You listen to what God says. Romans 3:23. Oh, that means me. That includes you. You're not an exception to this. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I, we were born on the same ground. I wasn't born elevated above you. I wasn't born any better than you. You and I were born sinners in the sight of God. And because of a nature, my mother and father have good parents. There was one thing they never had to teach me. They never had to teach me to lie. They never had to teach me to steal. They never had to teach me to disobey. I knew how to disobey. I would know how to steal. I would know how to tell lies. Why? Because it was inherent within me. I got it from my parents. It goes right away back to Adam and Eve. And as one man sinned, so all were made sinners. You and I, boys and girls, men and women tonight, all have sinned. I. How about this evening? They. There's many things in life you might consider, think about. Maybe some things that are not very important. But here is one thing I want you to consider tonight. I want you to think about God. I want to think this evening about Christ. If we were to preach this evening and miss out about Christ, we would have missed the preaching of the gospel. For we want to present to you this evening a Savior tonight, a Savior that came to seek and save the lost. You know, we are reminded about the Savior who came. You know, this man, as I said concerning this man, that he was to go home and to tell them about the compassion of the Lord Jesus. The compassion that had been shown to him. Ah, we want to tell you this evening about a Savior that cares. A Savior that has compassion for you. Wasn't it good he came to Gadara and he crossed the sea to reach one man? I want to tell you, the Savior made a longer journey to reach you. Out of compassion in his heart, with a care for you, he left heaven and he came to earth. What a journey the Savior took. It was a dangerous journey that the Savior took across the sea. It was a dangerous journey for the Savior to come to earth. He wasn't wanted here. He wasn't valued here. People didn't esteem him. They didn't look up to him. They thought he was a pretender. They said, this man is false. They attributed the power of his works to the power of Beelzebub, the devil. They said, this man's not true. Ah, they said, even about Nazareth, can there be any good thing? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Ah, this evening, the Savior came. He lived here. This wasn't his home. He didn't intend to stay here because he was going to go to the cross. And Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. He was wounded. Boys and girls, men and women, have you ever asked yourself the question this evening, why? Why was it that the Lord Jesus went to the cross? Why was it that he allowed himself to be punished? If you can get to heaven by doing your good works, if you can get to heaven by going to church, by praying, by reading your Bible, by doing whatsoever you think you can do well, why did the Lord Jesus die? Can I say reverently, it would have been pointless for him to die at the cross if you can get to heaven some other way. But there is no other way. Peter said, Acts chapter 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. An absolute necessity this evening. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, can I tell you, I hope you don't miss it, you need to be saved. Savior, he was wounded. The poet penned the words, led to the slaughter, Jesus our Lord. Compassionate Savior, true to his word, written it was, the death he should die. Finished, triumphant on the cross was his cry. Sheep before shearers, silent was he. No murmuring voice went nailed to the tree. Father, forgive, in agony he cried. And thus, all alone, forsaken, he died. He died for a sinner like you. Abandoned at Calvary. Yet there was that triumphant cry he cried. The Savior, having paid the price of sin, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his own life. He told his own life to go from him. And the Savior who died was buried. Ah, but we have this evening a Savior who arose. He ascended. He went back into heaven. And tonight, he's able and willing to save you. I to do with thee. Oh, you say, but have I got something to do with the Savior? Have I got something to do with God? I thought we lived in a world where everybody is really all right and nobody is really wrong and there's no such a thing as responsibility, accountability, and well, we can just do as we like, live as we like, die as we like, and we'll all get to heaven at some stage. I thought that was true. This man says, well, what have I to do with thee? Have you ever thought about that? When you put your head down on the pillow, the room is quiet. Has the thought ever crossed your mind? I have something to do with my Maker. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 4:13 said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom, now listen to this, with whom we have to do. You have to do with God. You can't escape it. There are appointments on earth that you can miss. You can avoid them. To do with God, you can't. If you don't do with God in time, you're going to have to do with God in eternity. That would be a tragedy. Be a sad thing for boys and girls and for you tonight. If you were to leave this meeting rejecting Christ, rejecting salvation, and go out into the world, live in your sin, die in your sin, you'll have to stand before God. And the judgment passed, and you'll be condemned to the lake of fire, to hell and the lake of fire. You've either got to do with God now, or you've got to do with God in eternity. You know, we've dealt with a Savior that was caring and compassionate. He sought after this man. He found this man. But you notice there was a great change that took place in this man. You know, there was a change outwardly. It revealed that there had been something that had happened within this man. Well, later he was going to go home to his friends and tell them about the great things. What were the great things that happened? He met Christ. You might meet a whole lot of people, boys and girls. Maybe some famous people. Maybe some sports star. Maybe some politician. Maybe somebody that you really look up to. You might meet them. There's no greater meeting than you meeting Christ. And I mean in the very seat that you sit on this evening, to realize I'm a sinner. Realize that I'm guilty. To realize I'm condemned. I'm in my sin. I need saved. And this evening, just on the seat that you sit on, to repent of your sin, to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. He stands with open arms. He wants to welcome you tonight. He wants you to trust Him, to rely upon Him. He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that what you would like tonight? You look at the believers tonight. You might think we're a wee bit strange. I want to tell you, we can put our heads in the pillow. We're at peace with God. We can rest tonight. Matters not what happens in this world or to ourselves. We know if it even was to be death, it would be to be with Christ. It's very far better. But with you? You can't do that. But the Savior wants to give you rest this evening. And we trust that you might accept the invitation and the gospel and accept the Savior. This man, do you know, once he got saved, there was a change that took place outwardly. He wanted company with Christ. You wouldn't blame him, would you? He wanted to join the Savior in the boat. He wanted fellowship with Christ. But the Savior says, no. You might want my company, but I've got a commission for you. You might be thinking tonight, what's the point in life? Is there any goal? Is there any aim? Is there any purpose? God would have a purpose for you if you would get saved. What was the commission for this man? Go home. Go home. Go to the hardest mission field of all, he says. Do what? Tell your friends the great things that God has done for thee. Wouldn't that be great tonight? Wouldn't you love to be like this man? You know, this man went home. And he began to spread in Decapolis all the things that had happened to him. The great things. It says all men did marvel. But earlier in the chapter, there were people that had a prayer meeting. What was the desire of their hearts? They prayed that he should depart from their coasts. They didn't want him. You know, that'll be the same in this meeting tonight. There'll be some boys and girls, maybe an older person, want Christ. Go in for God's salvation and be saved. And there'll be others. The others in the chapter that didn't want the Savior, they were the losers. What did they lose? Well, they lost their swine. They lost the Savior. And they lost their soul. There was one man. He gained much. He gained a Savior. He gained salvation. He gained his sanity. He gained a mission field. Sent out on a mission to declare the great things God had done for him. Boys and girls, men and women, just as I sit down, Can I tell you this evening, God wants to save you. And he's able to save you. And this evening, his desire is that you might trust him, believe on him, and accept him as your personal Savior.